You are now listening to the Willingboro and Vicinity NAACP podcast.
I'm your host, William Weston.
And I'm Willingboro and Vicinity branch president, Samantha Whitfield.
And how are you feeling, President Whitfield?
I'm doing all right. It's been, you know, some trying times lately, but I'm making it through.
True that. Kavanaugh got nominated and confirmed.
I don't even want to talk about it. I am so upset. I can't even believe that happened, but I'm not really surprised.
And the NAACP as an organization, what are we doing to help combat these trying times?
Well, of course, on a national level, the main thing that we are talking about is voting. Vote. Turn out the vote 2018. It's so important this year that we vote. This election is critical to our lives, to our health, to our society. And our vote really matters. I know a lot of people don't think that their vote matters as a singular person. But if people of color, specifically Black voters, participated in elections at the same rate of white voters, we would have a progressive majority in this country and really be able to influence a lot of the policies that are passed on a national scale.
I totally agree. We as a people give away the power of our vote. We give our vote away. We don't vote because we don't think it matters. And it really does matter. And if we vote collectively, if everyone votes, it will make an impact.
It's crazy because some of the reasons why people don't vote is because they're either skeptical of the political establishment, they're unhappy with the candidates that are up for election, which we see happen at a very high rate in 2016. People are frustrated with structural and institutional racism. There's no jobs, and that hasn't changed. The wages are low, and that has barely changed. Healthcare costs are rising, college costs and higher education costs are rising, the cost of living is rising, housing is rising, police violence is crazy, and you just feel like there's nothing that your vote will do.
In that litany of issues you presented, one of the things you were saying was about not being happy with the candidates. A way we can alleviate that is by pursuing an elected office ourselves, inserting ourselves in the process fully. We don't have to wait for someone else to run we agree with. We can be that person.
Yeah. All of the issues that we talk about can be changed by having the right people in power and passing the right legislation.
Exactly. Although right now, the concentration is getting out the vote. The NAACP national website, NAACP.org, has short video collaborations with persons of note, encouraging people to get out and vote on November 6th. They have a great tagline, which is, "We must vote this year because our lives depend on it." And that captures the feeling of what's happening right now. They have people like Wanda Sykes, Pastor Jamal Bryant, and Bishop T.D. Jakes.
We actually have a clip of what Pastor T.D. Jakes spoke about when he addressed the NAACP. So why don't you roll that clip?
I'm Bishop T.D. Jakes. I am a Black person living in America. Like you, the decisions politicians make and the tone they set directly affect my life, our lives. This election, our lives are on the ballot. It is our duty to vote. On Tuesday, November the 6th, let's choose governors, council members, district attorneys, legislators, and a Congress that will best represent us and our interest. Vote. Our lives depend on it. Visit NAACP.org/vote or text NAACP to 40649 to get more information.
You can also check your voter registration status and find your polling place at headcount.org. Really important if you're not sure if you're registered to vote or not, or where you should vote. You encounter any voter disenfranchisement, efforts to block your vote or prevent you from voting at your polling place, you should directly connect with the United States Department of Justice, and you can call their main switchboard line at 202-514-2000.
Our votes are so important that people are trying to suppress the vote, by throwing away applications, purging registration. If you don't use it, lose it. Things are being pushed out there. So yes, definitely check to see if you're still registered. If you find any pushback or difficulty voting, make sure it is known by dialing that number.
202-514-2000.
I'm sure we drove home the importance of voting,
especially in this election and in this time, if we're having this much pushback. And it's a definitely, it's a weird time. You know, at least during my lifetime, I haven't seen things so politically contrast and almost, it's almost adversarial.
It's crazy. I've never experienced something like this. And it really feels like we've gone back in time almost to the 1950s when our ancestors were struggling with the same thing. They were struggling with voter disenfranchisement. They were struggling with purging of the voter rolls. They were struggling with having to take a test to even be able to register to vote. It was some real crazy things going on. And now there are even crazier things. Like if your driver's license signature doesn't match your voter registration signature, they won't register you to vote. So that's just, it's crazy, the things that they're doing. And if we don't stand up to it, if we don't take action and protect our right to vote, it will be taken away from us. And I mean, we're seeing policies being rolled back now. And this will only be another one.
One of the reasons that these things can even be able to happen is because in 2013, a particular part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was deemed unconstitutional. That part of the Voting Rights Act contained formulas that identified states with a history of discrimination. Those states were Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, and Virginia. There were also parts of California, Florida, Michigan, New York, North Carolina, and South Dakota. All those areas had to ask for preclearance from the Justice Department before any electoral law changes. Now, those states and areas have no accountability for the laws they pass that determine what is needed to vote or when or who can be purged from the rolls.
So just be mindful, be alert, be vigilant. And it is a right. It's not a privilege. I don't believe it. I believe it's a clear right that we have as a citizen, honestly, whether educated or not, I mean, educated about the candidates or not, you have the right to vote. I suggest being as educated as you can be concerning the candidates, but you have the right to vote as a citizen, period.
Period.
Okay. And I believe next up is, from a national standpoint, is Next Gen. So what you got for us, President Whitfield?
The NAACP Next Generation Program is a 12-month national leadership development training program for young adults between the ages of 21 and 35 to be trained to assume the leadership positions that are available within the NAACP. Our state conference theme was Evolution of the Revolution, and that just really helps to highlight the need for younger, energetic people to get involved with the NAACP and continue to fight for our rights and our freedom.
And relating to that, at the gospel breakfast during the state conference, Pastor Jennifer Waterman Moore gave an excellent message. And part of that message was some people have to get out of the shadows and come to the forefront. And then there's other people who have to know when to slide to the side and allow this next gen to step up, these new leadership, because at some point, because of our own mortality, we should begin preparing and promoting new leadership.
Yeah, I remember one of the messages that she said in her sermon was some people will die with a baton that should have been passed. And we cannot continue to make progress if we are not passing the baton and equipping the next generation to pick up where we leave off at. We have to continue to fight. And that requires resources. It requires the generations of knowledge that we've gathered to be passed down so that we're not starting from the beginning every time. We're not trying to figure things out every time. All of these things have been figured out, and we need to take the lessons that we've learned and apply them moving forward. But we can't do that if the same people continue to hold on to power and refuse to move forward and let the next generation excel.
Yeah, both things have to happen. We have to groom new leadership and, you know, pass things down. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every time a new person comes into a position.
There should be standard operating procedures passed to those people. And also,
the people have to know when to pass the baton. Like, okay, it's now time to have this new leadership and adopt new ways of doing things and not be so rigid or against things just because it's changed. Just like this podcast, you know, this podcast or receiving information through email, texting, those things can be slowly adopted more and more by the NAACP. Now, I will say that I think that the membership cards come out a little faster now and they are moving forward. So I do applaud the national NAACP for that.
It's not just that the baton needs to be passed, but also we need those members to stay involved. Once you pass the baton, don't pass the baton and lead the movement. We need you to stay involved. We need you to help guide. We need your wisdom. We need your time. We need your dedication. We need your experiences to continue to move forward.
True. There's no retirement to the fight for civil rights. You know, there's no retirement there. It's like, okay, I do think you can still mentor, you can support, you can help guide. That wisdom and experience is invaluable and can be used by the new leadership. You know, part of it is unity. And Pastor Jennifer, she mentioned us being unified, and that's part of unity. You know, play your position and also being unified in sharing information. It's not, I know this and this person has to learn it themselves. And, you know, especially for new leadership are the younger leaders to be able to take, I guess, constructive criticism or pointers on leadership and the direction things should go.
Absolutely. And that's what the Next Gen program does. It includes leadership development, legislative action, unit administration, advocacy and programming, consistent with the 6 NAACP game changers, including efforts in economic sustainability, education, health, criminal justice, political action, and youth engagement. So all of these things are invaluable to moving the NAACP forward and changing our society for the better for the next generation. And we encourage everyone that is between the ages of 21 and 35 to apply to the Next Gen program. The application deadline is December 31st of this year, 2018, and you can apply online at NAACP.org.
Were you going to apply?
I am going to be applying this year. Actually, I was convinced by Ayanna Polk, who is one of our former New Jersey State chair people, but she has since moved to Boston and is active in the NAACP in Boston now. But she has convinced me to apply to the Next Gen program. Actually, Will, didn't you have a chance to speak with her at the convention?
Yes, I was able to grab Ms. Polk for a few moments on the convention floor. And here's that interview.
I'm here with the youth coordinator of the state conference. Ayanna Polk. So I hear there's some challenges and you're moving on, but give us a background on the youth. Where is it at? And also the direction it's going and what you're asking for.
All right. Well, that's a very loaded question. Right now, the Youth in College for New Jersey State Conference is in a reset phase. Essentially, right now, there's a great opportunity for new leadership across the state for all of our youth units, our college chapters. We're looking for energized and want to be heard. So I'm hoping that the association takes this opportunity to start looking in their communities, their local schools, college campuses, and looking for people who are energized and want to advocate for their communities, advocate for themselves, and try to push an agenda of equality and equity throughout the state of New Jersey.
I hear you're headed to Massachusetts. And what is your position in the NAACP there, and what are your plans? And I'm guessing it's going to involve youth.
Well, right now I'm just a member, so I have a lot less on my plate. I've recently moved. I've only been up there for about 2.5 months, but I have been very involved. I've been a part of GOTV events. I've done tabling for voter registrations in Massachusetts. I did help leading up to the primary, which, you know, that was the famous primary that got Congresswoman-elect Ayanna Pressley with her seat, and I'm very excited that she's going to be representing me in the Massachusetts 7th. But I know that going forward, when it comes to the Boston NAACP, they've been very receptive, and they are very excited about getting young adults, young professionals, youth in college, getting everyone an equal seat at the table when it comes to civil rights. So I don't know what I have in store, but I know it's going to find me wherever it's going to be.
So what can you tell us for the New Jersey State Conference? How can we improve getting youth involved and more engaged in the NAACP?
Well, what I try to do is think about what I tell everyone to think about what got them started and try to use that light to inspire someone else to have that same flame. So yesterday for Youth in College, we did have a discussion, panel discussion, with some youth across the state, and we had the participants from the New Jersey cohort for the National Office's Professional Leadership Development Program, NextGen. NextGen is, this is his first year, so we're part of the inaugural class. We had four people from across the state come, along with Jonathan McKinney from the National Office, who's been very instrumental in getting the program off the ground. And I feel like NextGen is a great opportunity. They look for people who are 21 to 35, who want to assume leadership in the NAACP but might not know how, or they just need a stronger network on how, so they can learn from each other. Because I know in my year in the program, I've learned a lot about the NAACP. And yes, I've done it for 10 years, but I've learned a lot of things when it comes to fundraising, when it comes to compliance reports, when it comes to membership strategy. You know, GOTV, we've learned how to properly use the van system, so that way we can canvas, we can start to advocate for issues. Because, you know, with the NAACP, we are nonpartisan, but we are very political. So we want to make sure that we show everyone what the issues are, and we want to make that power that's at the ballot box very tangible, so that people can see that they can go and make themselves heard when it comes to city council, when it comes to, you know, national elections. We want to make sure that you know that where your efforts will be counted. Mm-hmm. So that's our job. So we want to show people that they can do that too.
And you said NextGen. What is that?
All right. So NextGen is the National Office's professional leadership program geared towards individuals who are 21 to 35. Because the National Association sees that there is an absence of young professional leaders in the NAACP. And we know that we all get older, and we need to make a pipeline of leadership, because this fight that we have is intergenerational. It's going to affect everyone. So you need everyone at the table. And a lot of these people who are being harassed by police, the people that are trying to live in communities where the water isn't up to par, these are affecting young families. It's not just kids, it's adults, young adults. But I feel like a lot of people don't have an outlet, and that's what creates, is, you know, and I don't mind, is a devil's playground. So some people may take that frustration and do things that they don't necessarily channel their frustrations elsewhere. And, you know, my charge with being in this association is to make sure we give people a positive outlet and show them that their voices can be productive. And no matter what your talents are, your presence, anything, any type of action makes you an activist. So we're just trying to push people and get them to get involved. Simple as that.
So, is there anything you would like to leave us with?
What I would like to leave with you all is that don't be discouraged. I know that this is a very crazy, turbulent time in our history, and some people feel like we're back in the 60s, but you know what? We are very resilient people. We have been through worse, and we will get to better. It's a matter of us working together, not being afraid, and going out there and proving ourselves right, and proving hatred, inequality, racism, and all those other things wrong. So.
Thank you, Ms. Polk, for that interview. You are starting something new and exciting. May you continue to prosper and enjoy much success.
Yes, much success, Ayanna, and we wish you the best. Sorry, so sad to see you go. Definitely gonna miss you, girl. All right, so let's talk about
some of the workshops available at the NAACP New Jersey State Conference. Some of the workshop titles included the Amistad Commission, that was education, Under Health, Giving Birth to Change, Black Maternal Mortality, The Cause, Prevention, and Legislation. Another health workshop that was available was Out of the Darkness, Into the Light, Helping African Americans Understand and Cope with Mental Illness. Economic Development, Generational Wealth Through Credit. Under Energy, there was Efficiency and the Future of Energy. Youth in College had the History of the Civil Rights Movement. And there were a few other workshops that provided some very beneficial information.
Yeah, I actually attended the Giving Birth to Change Black Maternal Mortality Workshop. It was awesome. There was an awesome panel of women. There was a doula, some medical professionals, Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey, and also the NAACP Senior Health Director, Dr. Marjorie Innocent, were present to talk about the causes, prevention, and legislation of Black maternal mortality. So it was such an interesting workshop. The panel discussed causes, prevention, and legislation surrounding Black maternal mortality. It was such good information. And I found out that according to the CDC, Black mothers in the United States die at a rate that's 3 to 4 times higher than that of white mothers. And there's such widespread racial disparities in women's health overall, but this is one of the widest within women's health, the women's health arena. There are so many different causes to Black maternal mortality, which are some things that I didn't even think about. Access to healthy food, safe drinking water, safe neighborhoods, good schools and good education, having a decent job, having reliable transportation, which is something that I didn't even think about, being able to get to your doctor's appointments and receive the treatment that you need while you're pregnant. Black women are more uninsured inside of pregnancy and also are more likely to lose their Medicaid coverage before the postpartum period is over. So that contributes to the disparity as well. It's just crazy to think of all of the factors that go into that that we don't think about and how much of a dire effect it has on our health and our pregnancies, and even the higher levels of stress and the effects of racism that mothers experience in the hospital just affect their whole birthing process and can really change the outcomes of their births. Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman also talked about a legislative act, the Mommies Act, that is set to amend the Social Security Act to improve Medicaid and children's health insurance programs for low-income mothers. As I said, it's called the Mommies Act, and it stands for Maximizing Outcomes for Moms Through Medicare Improvements and Enhancement of Services. The act was put forth by Senator Cory Booker, also of New Jersey, and we encourage you to call your senators to support it. The act number is S3494. So make sure if you're listening from anywhere else in the United States, give your senator a call and tell them to support the Mommies Act.
And we both were at the Health Out of the Darkness, Into the Light, Helping African Americans Understand and Cope with Mental Illness, where in our communities, mental health is sometimes looked at as a weakness and something that brings shame and is taboo, and we don't even talk about it and we just keep it quiet in our families.
Yeah, I know it's definitely something that my family has experienced, and I'm sure many other Black families have experienced, and it's just time for us to stop stigmatizing each other and start helping each other and really help each other get the help that we need and the proper medical care that we need.
We have to learn how to lose the stigma of mental illness. And also, if there is a diagnosis of mental illness, we can learn how to maintain it, how to recognize the triggers, different things we can do, journal, talking to somebody, getting the right medication, whatever. However,
you need to manage it. You know, we have to be able to recognize and respond when those things happen to us.
Right. And just like we maintain our physical health, we need to maintain our mental health. I think a lot of times mental health is associated or used synonymously with mental illness, and that's not the case. It's just being aware of your mental state, making efforts to keep yourself in a good space instead of letting some of those negative feelings and stressors overtake you.
And those were just a couple of the workshops available. There was a lot of valuable information disseminated, and it was just unfortunate that we could not attend all of them.
Last but not least, for the state information, we do have our state quarterly conference coming up. It will be on December 1st. Right here in our hometown, home base of Willingboro and vicinity NAACP at the JFK Center.
All right. And so that's the quarterly meeting at the JFK Senior Center. And more information will be provided. Now that we did that, on the branch level.
On the branch level, at our last meeting, we talked a little bit about all of the voter registration efforts that we had. The voter registration deadline was unfortunately in New Jersey on October 16th. So if you didn't get a chance to register by then, the deadline has passed. But you can still encourage your friends and family to get out to vote on November 6th. You can take people to the polls. You can make calls. You can go knock on your neighbor's doors to make sure that they went and voted. There are a bunch of things that you can do, even if you're not registered or if you are not able to vote due to whatever reasons, that you can encourage people to vote and influence the election. So make sure that you do your part. Coming up, we will be doing our part by participating in a Rock Your Vote event that will be happening October 29th. That's going to be at 630 Beverly Rancocas Road at 6:30 p.m. So there we go, 6:30 Beverly Rancocas at 6:30 p.m. Look at that.
All right.
But I will be on the panel along with Southern Burlington County President Crystal Charlie, as well as Jason Jones, Pastor Carlos Worthy of the Borough Church, Dr. Tiffany Worthy of the All Things Are Possible Foundation, and a few other people who will be talking about the importance of voting, why we should get out to vote. We will have some local candidates come and join us in the conversation, and I think it will be a great informative session for all that will attend. So don't forget, come out to Rock Your Vote on October 29th, 6:30 Beverly Rancocas Road at 6:30 p.m. In Willingboro, New Jersey. Yes, forgot that part.
All good. He did a great job. In our November branch meeting, we'll be having our branch elections. I believe you're still running for president, correct?
I was nominated again to maintain the presidency of our branch.
The elections are in our November meeting, right?
Yes, they will be taking place at our November meeting, which will be November 13th, 7 p.m. at the Willingboro Senior Center. Please come out. And if you are not registered with the NAACP, you can register that night. If you are, please come out and vote.
Okay. Well, that means we got the nominations together in our October meeting. And right. So November. Yes. And so.
Right. There are a lot of great candidates that are running, and come out, meet some folks, see how you can get involved with the NAACP and do your part to change our future and make society better for the next generation.
Yes, and maybe next election you can run for a position. Or there's going to be plenty of empty committee heads, so you could get appointed.
Yes, you can get appointed. All you have to do is be a member for 30 days, and you can be appointed to any of the vacant seats. So if you are interested in serving on a committee, we encourage you to come out to our November meeting on November
13th. Okay, yeah, because there's plenty of work to do and there's not enough workers.
Not enough hands.
Yes, absolutely. Not enough hands to the plow. Yes.
That's all I have.
All right. And that's all I have. Thank you for another podcast of the Willingboro and Vicinity NAACP branch. You can contact us on Facebook at Willingboro and Vicinity NAACP if you would like some feedback or to share some facts. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Stay in the fight.
And remember to vote.